Well, good morning, friends. It is a continued delight and honor for me to be able to worship with you in this manner. I appreciate the good effort being put forth this morning by the men who are here. It's a privilege to serve alongside them, both those, all those who are participating in the service and those working behind the scenes to make this possible. And I thank them for all the good efforts being put forth. And I thank you for tuning in and for you seeking the Lord first on this day, this beautiful Lord's Day, and to think on things that matter most, as we just sang, that the Lord is coming back, and we need to be ready for that, and we need to be anticipating His return, and we need to be living only for that great reward with Him. And I know that that's what you want, which is why you're seeking Him first this day, and I commend you for that. I want to consider a thought that Paul addresses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talks about something he experienced. And he goes through and he's talking about his experience and he's saying that, look, I don't know if this happened just in my mind or if it happened in my body, but it happened, is what he's saying. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through verse 6, he says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." Now, as Paul is recounting this experience he had, and he makes it clear, he says, "I don't know how this happened, but I just know it happened. Whether I was physically taken there, I can't tell you. Whether it happened out of my body and, like I said, in my mind, I can't tell you that either. All I can tell you is I got to the third heaven, and I was there in paradise, and I saw and I heard what was happening in this environment." Now, he says that this happened 14 years ago to a man in Christ, and some say, well, maybe this happened to on his road to Damascus, when the Lord appeared to him. But that's not what he's talking about here. That was a different experience, because what he's talking about here happened to him while he was a Christian, that he was in Christ when this happened, and it was 14 years prior to him writing 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But his point he's making is, I got to the third heaven, and I got to see what was up there, and I got to observe the environment. And he says that I can't tell you about it. It's not lawful for me to utter, either because it would probably be impossible for him to describe what was all up there, or he was not permitted to describe all that he saw and hear. And I would think he would say that for the benefit of going forward, okay? Whenever people would read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then see Paul again down the road, he already tell him, look, I can't talk about it. I can't tell you what, in detail, what I saw. I'm not permitted to do that. And again, like I said, it could either be from the inability to talk about it or him not being granted permission to talk about it. And so he left it at that, but he says, now look, I saw this place, and it was in the third heaven. Now the Jews broke down heaven primarily into three sections here. That you had the first heaven, which would be the environment around the earth, and then you would have the realm beyond that, which would have been space, where the planets and the stars are, and then beyond that, you would have the spiritual realm. You would have the realm of eternal dwelling with God, and specifically, he's mentioning paradise, which of course is in Hades, the realm of the dead. And that, of course, I believe is the only place we can access now as people who have lived on the earth, until the Lord eventually brings heaven and hell, so to speak, even to a final judgment. But here Paul is talking about that he got to this third level. He got past our atmosphere, past the stars and the moon. He got all the way up into that third realm. And it was quite a scene for him. I mean, what did he hear? What did he see? What was it like? What did it feel like to get there? It's just remarkable to think about that actually being a place, a real place, as real as the sky is above us right now. There is this real realm that is called the third heaven, according to the Word of God. And my point this morning is very simple. Which heaven means the most to you? When we look at these three heavens, which one are you living for? Which one is the center of your heart? Which one do you think about day after day and you want more than anything to be there? And I hope that we all would conclude that above everything else we have in life, the thing that matters most to us is getting to that third heaven, getting to that spiritual realm of eternity with God. But it could be that we live for the first heaven. Because as we look at these different types of heaven, it is possible for us to live for the first heaven, where the first heaven, of course, even according to the Word of God, is described as that realm where even the birds fly. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, it mentions, "Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So even here, the Bible's recognizing it as one level of heaven, or a type of heaven, where it says the birds fly across the face of the earth. Matthew chapter 6 in the American Standard Version, it says in verse 26, "Behold the birds of the heaven," Jesus said. So even here they're acknowledging that this first realm around the earth is referred to as a heaven, according to the Word of God. And what's really amazing about this is that we're not dealing with a whole lot of area here. That, yes, you can have a lot of space above us. In fact, I have some facts here. It talks about the shortest distance between Earth and space is about 62 miles straight up. And that there's not really a specific end, that there's no clear border between the two areas or domains. But you're roughly looking at about 62 miles straight up before you leave our atmosphere to get to what would be considered the outer atmosphere or space. And yet we see even in our atmosphere, in our heaven, so to speak, you're not dealing with a large area. People who climb Mount Everest, which is 29,000 feet, need oxygen when they're up there. And you're looking at an atmosphere that even less than 6 miles where you need oxygen. Astronomers at the observatory of Mauna Kea, which is 13,000 feet, often succumb to oxygen sickness. The U.S. Air Force says oxygen above 10,000 feet is needed. So you're not, 2 miles, maybe, 2 miles and you're out of oxygen, is what these points are observing. And so we're not dealing with a big area here, that our whole life consists of an area under the umbrella, so to speak, of just a 2 mile radius of where we can live. And so that's life. That's life under the sun, is what Solomon says, that this is the realm we live in, and that this is the realm that is considered a heaven in the Word of God. And when we look at this realm, we have to understand that, yes, it is a wonderful experience to be in this realm, under this heaven. We are very fortunate to be here. We're here by the mercy of God, and by His wisdom and by His power. But as wonderful as this realm is, even the Bible makes the point that it doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy us, this life under the sun. When you go back to when Solomon talks about life under the sun in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, one of the points he makes in verse 8 is, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." That as long as we're in this world, we're always going to want more. I mean, you haven't heard all the songs you want to hear. You haven't seen all the sunsets you want to see. You haven't learned all the things you want to learn. We always want more while we're in this body and while we're in this realm. That just proves the point that this realm cannot satisfy you. It cannot satisfy you completely because you weren't designed to stay here. You weren't created to just exist in this realm under this heaven. In fact, you're not going to stay here, is what Ecclesiastes goes on to say in chapter 2. that it's not possible for you to stay here. So you shouldn't live for this heaven. This should not be your highest heaven. In Ecclesiastes 2, he's talking about in verses 18 through 23 about the great struggle we all have in leaving this world behind and leaving our stuff behind for other people to possess and other people to take control of. And so this is not the realm that you want to live for, and this is not the realm you want to get caught up in. But we can. You know, we can set our minds on things below and make this our God, and that is, of course, not the way God intends it to be. And so the first heaven cannot be our primary heaven. But I would suggest to you that the second heaven cannot be our primary heaven either. It cannot be the highest heaven that we live for. But even that realm is referred to as heaven in the Bible. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, it refers to this area as heaven. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and seasons for days and years." Here, the Bible is telling us how time is defined, how time began. And we know that time is, for us, is based on our orbit around the sun, our rotation around the sun, and that's how time is defined, and that these planets and stars were given for that purpose for us here on this earth. And yet, even in this text, it's referred to as living or existing in heaven, I should say. And that, of course, is to reveal the magnitude of God. His majesty is what should stand out when we look up at the stars and the planets and we see just how beautiful everything is up in that realm. It should lead us to praise our God when we see all that He has done. Psalm 148 is a psalm that we sing about from time to time, where it says in verses 1 through 4, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His hosts, praise Him sun and moon, praise Him all you stars of light, praise Him you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. So this is a real realm according to the Word of God, and it's a realm that just expresses the power of our God, the creative ability of our God, and just how amazing He really is. It wasn't long ago that Scott Kelly, a U.S. astronaut, was able to dwell almost a year in space. And he, of course, holds the record for total days in space of over 500 days in space. But he was, in this last trip, was up there for 340 days straight. And while he was there, he got to experience a lot of neat things. I mean, he talked about how he grew an inch and a half because of the weightlessness, and how it was, a tremendous experience for him to live like that and then to have clothes not even touch his body. He said that when he came back to Earth, that was one of the things he had to get used to immediately, was clothes touching his skin, and how that was an irritation after almost a year of not having clothes on his skin directly. But he got back to Earth. But while he was there up in space, he was taking pictures of everything that he could. And he had like a million people following him on Twitter. And some of the things he photographed, like this amazing photo here. And then he had pictures of other things, of different nations at night and what it looked like. Even in the States, where he was able to document what it looked like over Texas at night, and just the grouping of people and how lit up our nation is, especially in comparison to other nations. And just really just how immense and how powerful and how just how beautiful space is, and just how in awe he was of it. And yet we look at these pictures and we know that God made all these things. God made all these things, and He made them to reveal His power, to benefit us here on this earth. But as remarkable as these things are, the second heaven, even it is not the heaven we should live for. Even it should not be our ultimate goal in life, because again, that heaven is temporary. The things we read about regarding space are going to be wrapped up one day. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about in verses 11 and 12 that they will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, is what he's saying in Hebrews chapter 1. So as beautiful as it is, it's all going to come to an end eventually, is what the Hebrew writer is saying. And so we can't live for these two heavens. This cannot be where our heart is. It has to be somewhere else, because these heavens are not going to last. When you look at all these different heavens, these first two are going to come to an end. So the only heaven that will last is that spiritual realm, that eternal realm, which is why we should live to go and be with God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, in talking about how these first two heavens are going to be destroyed, it mentions life on earth, and then it mentions the heavens that we just talked about. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, in describing what's going to happen on this last day, when he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Well, that's not just our atmosphere here. It's talking about the planets and space and everything we just talked about in that second. All of it's coming to an end. All of it's going to explode. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So everything we see is going to be destroyed. And because that is so, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct is the point Peter goes on to make. But he does prove the fact here. That this place is not going to last. It's not going to exist for eternity. And that overthrows a lot of different ideas people have about heaven and what to expect in the next life. The Watchtower organization, one of their popular doctrines is this idea that you either get to go to be with God in heaven if you're that 144,000, and if you're not, your best case scenario is to be that in that group of the great multitude who get to occupy the earth. And if you don't make that, then you are condemned, but you go out of existence, is what they're teaching. And so if you're not in heaven, then you're best hope is here on earth, where this earth is going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, where you're going to have peace and harmony between man and animals, and the whole earth will become a paradise, lovely new homes, gardens will occupy land that had once been ruined by sinful humans. This is what they're teaching people. This is the hope that they are giving people who are going to occupy the earth as the great multitude. But we just see from Peter, that's just not the case. You can't stay here. This place is going to explode. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be removed, is what Peter says. So this cannot be the place that you live for. And the fact of the matter is, Christianity teaches there's just one hope. There's one hope for all of us. It's not one hope for 144,000 and one hope for the great multitude. There's just one for all of us, is what it says in Ephesians 4 and in verse 4. And that one hope is the same for everyone. It's the hope of being with the Lord forever. That when Jesus descends in the clouds with his mighty angels to judge this place, the righteous are going to rise up to be with him forever, is what he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says that thus we shall always be with the Lord. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, that's a comforting message to all of us, because that's the hope all of us have. And it could happen today. That's what's amazing. That we may hear that great trumpet. We may see Jesus descend. We may see the mighty angels gathering people up for judgment. And then we can see the righteous descending with the Lord, as he talks about right here. And then we can rise up and be with him forever. That can happen today. That's a real possibility. But what we can know is that this place is not going to last. And so this cannot be where we want to live. We should want to live to be with the Lord forever. And that's really all that matters. This past week, I performed a funeral service. And it was the first time I had attended a funeral service during this quarantine, let alone preach one. And it was kind of sad. It was different, obviously, because you could not have a public gathering. They had drive-through viewing for the family, and yet you could not have any public funeral in the funeral home, so everything had to be done outside, and it could only be done with their family, and just a handful at that. And in a sense, it seems unfair for Christians to die at this time, or for people to die at this time, and to be deprived of the traditional funeral service, like Sister Ruby was denied during this time when she passed from here. And it might seem like, well, that's just unfair. It's unfair that this is happening for them, and they've been denied something very valuable. But you know, these Christians who leave this world and who go into paradise that Paul talked about, they could care less. They could care less what is done on this earth for them. They don't care about that. All that matters to them is being with God in eternity. And if we are wise, that's what we should be living for. We should be living for this moment when we can be with the Lord forever. That's the only heaven that's going to last. And that should be at the center of our heart when the Bible teaches that every day we need to be people who set our mind on things above. Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And that's what I hope, good friends, we are waiting for. And so I share these thoughts with you with the hope that they will be a source of encouragement to you. But you know, you can't go to heaven unless you are in Christ. That's what Jesus says. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot get to the Father except through Him. And if you believe that, and you can believe that because He died for sin and He came back from the dead. So yeah, you can believe that. And if you're willing to give your life to Him in turning away from sin, confessing that faith, and then being immersed in water, as we see in every example of conversion in the New Testament, where people were told to be baptized, and they did. We hope you would do that even this day. If you're local and you want to do that, reach out to one of us here. We'll make arrangements for you to be immersed into Christ today. That's not a problem. But you have to believe, and you have to be convinced He is God's Son, and you have to be willing to turn your life over to Him. And if you need further guidance on that, then please let us know. We'll be glad to study with you. But if you need to do that, or if you need to make your life right with God, then please consider doing that today as we sing this song.